From NPR News, I'm Tony Cox. We turn now to a broader view of the year that was 2004, a year ending with one of the most devastating natural disasters in history. The death toll from the tsunami waves on the rim of the Indian Ocean will far exceed 100,000. In 2004, the United States was swept up in both a war in Iraq and a race for president.
Thank you, Iowa, for making me the comeback Kerry.
It was January 20th when John Kerry posted a strong victory in the Iowa primary. And with that win, the Massachusetts senator began to pull away from his Democratic competition to become his party's presumptive nominee for president.
Let's go out there and win this nomination.
But the Bush campaign was prepared for John Kerry and employed a strategy to portray him as a flip-flopper.
I actually did vote for the $87 billion before I voted against it.
The GOP strategy worked. Kerry went on to lose the election by nearly 4 million votes. It was supposed to be a year of pride and celebration in Haiti. 2004 marked the bicentennial of the revolution that made that country the world's first black republic. But Jean-Bertrand Aristide, the first democratically elected president in Haiti's turbulent history, was targeted by both a democratic opposition and anti-democratic right-wing rebel insurgents. Aristide had been accused of violence and corruption and struggled to stay in power. But by March 2nd, headlines around the world read, "Aristide flees Haiti." In the days that followed, Aristide held press conferences from the Central African Republic claiming that he had been kidnapped by the U.S. Here's what he told us.
This is what I call a real coup d'etat, which is the modern way to have modern kidnapping.
Meanwhile, Secretary of State Colin Powell was presenting another perspective on the story.
We did not force him onto the airplane. He went onto the airplane willingly, and that's the truth.
Today, the security situation in Haiti is described as chaotic.
Been shooting here all through the day. I think that sounds like they're launching mortars, basically. This was an incredible day. Just an incredible day.
That's a Los Angeles Times reporter talking with NPR from Iraq in the spring of 2004 as events there took a tragic turn. On the last day of March, four American contractors were killed in Fallujah, their bodies mutilated and hung from a bridge over the Euphrates River. The American military responded swiftly with Marines laying siege to the city. But realizing it could not root out Fallujah's insurgents without a potentially brutal, costly, and unpopular house-to-house incursion, the Pentagon pulled back. A month later, the first photos from Abu Ghraib prison were released, creating the very public relations nightmare the military had sought to avoid in Fallujah. The photos also galvanized the Iraqi insurgency, led in part by Sunni extremist Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. It was investigative journalist Seymour Hersh who first broke the story of Abu Ghraib. He spoke to us shortly after.
The war at that time was beginning to go very sour. The insurgency had grown. It seems comical now when you think about it. We were talking about there were 5,000 insurgents out there that were running the opposition. And once we got those guys, everything would be okay. So Miller recommends getting tough. General Sanchez does it. And the way you get tough, of course, is you make the prison. Every prison in Iraq suddenly becomes a Guantanamo. This kind of stuff, this kind of sexual titillation that went on, raises profound questions in the Arab world about whether we are really decent, moral people. Everybody knows that bad things happen in war and bad things happen in prison. But this goes to the whole psyche of all of us.
Within days, terrorists responded to Abu Ghraib with the videotaped beheading of American Nick Berg, followed by a rash of bombings, kidnappings, and still more gruesome taped beheadings. February 3, 2004, the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court ruled that government attorneys had failed to identify any constitutionally adequate reason to deny gay and lesbian couples the right to marry. Many Americans, especially those on the religious right, were outraged by the ruling.
This is a limitation to the continuity of humanity. This is a sign of the Day of Judgment, the last days.
Still, 11 days later, San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom ordered the county clerk to begin issuing marriage licenses to gay and lesbian couples.
Do you, Alexandra, take Margot to be your spouse for life?
I do.
Repeat after me. With this ring.
With this ring.
I thee wed.
I thee wed.
By the end of the month, hundreds of same-sex marriages were performed at San Francisco's City Hall. Mayor Newsom spoke with us about it.
This doesn't play. The overwhelming majority of Americans they're not willing to accept right now gay marriage. Of course, the overwhelming majority of Americans in 1967, when we finally came to grips with interracial marriages, were opposed to interracial marriages. Mm-hmm. Sometimes these struggles take time, and sometimes people never come around to the understanding of the importance of advancing the full promise of the Constitution for every American. And in this case, it's going to take years, perhaps decades.
Reflecting on the lessons of Rwanda 10 years ago, U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell in early September described the systematic killings in Sudan's Darfur region in terms that held great legal significance in the view of human rights activists worldwide.
I concluded, that genocide has been committed in Darfur, and that the government of Sudan and the Janjaweed bear responsibility, and that genocide may still be occurring.
The crisis in Sudan continues to fester as we speak.
Here it is, ground ball to second. Reese, the Boston Red Sox have won the pennant.
In sports, the curse of the Bambino was finally put to rest as the Boston Red Sox rallied from a 3-0 deficit against longtime rivals, the New York Yankees.
Postseason baseball history.
Boston went on to sweep the St. Louis Cardinals, earning their first World Series victory in 86 years. And the city of Detroit was involved in two major events in basketball this year. Last spring, the Pistons put a beating on the Los Angeles Lakers to win the NBA championship.
What a sad scene here at the Palace.
And then, in the fall, Pistons fans tried to put a beating on the Indiana Pacers.
Very, very dangerous. Fans are throwing cups with liquid in them now onto the court. Ron Artest has a look in his eye that's very scary right now.
Finally, it was an unprecedented year for movies. The 2004 presidential election year witnessed the convergence of art and politics on a level never seen before.
With no one telling him what to do, and no Secret Service rushing in to take him to safety, Mr. Bush just sat there and continued to read My Pet Goat with the children.
Michael Moore's anti-Bush film, Fahrenheit 9/11, grossed more than $110 million at the box office. We spoke with Moore just weeks before Election Day.
The research we've done has shown that especially swing voters who go in to see the movie, they're not swinging by the time the movie's over. They have fallen off the fence, and they're not voting for Bush.
Meanwhile, religion made a huge impact in Hollywood with The Passion of the Christ. And an African-American biopic about a guy named Ray just may garner multiple Oscar nominations.
Hey, mama, don't you treat me wrong. Come and love you, daddy, all night long.
And that's just a glance at the top stories of the amazing year that was 2004.